welcome to a special edition of the Movie Film Show, Worst Pictures of 2010.
He is the last of his kind.
At some point, I used the word Armageddon.
If I miss the birth of my child, I'm gonna choke you out.
The job I had before was as a psychic.
I don't think God's very interested in me, Papa.
You go make a movie. You got money to make a movie, right? Do you have any money?
Well, how much you need?
How much you got?
You have the money? You take the risk.
Greed is good.
Anything to make a buck.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
This is my no carb left behind experiment.
I'm against the education of women. It dulls their senses and affects their performance in the boudoir.
You have done much sinning.
All men are sinners. Everything I've done, I've had good cause to do.
Why don't you start calling me Gordon?
Some think he is a myth.
I want to discuss my relationship.
Gay, 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 gay.
I don't believe I have to discuss that with you.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Cleo.
This is destiny. I really don't think I belong here.
Greetings, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie, and welcome to our Worst of 2010 show.
Ooh.
Just a couple of quick announcements. If you like the show, please subscribe to us in iTunes and rate the show. Give us a review on there. And of course, you'll want to rate us 5 stars because this is a 5-star show, right, Mr. Film?
You said it.
All right.
And send us an email if you have any comments, suggestions, disagreements with either myself or Mr. Movie. You can email those comments at mail@moviefilmshow.com.
So, Mr. Film, we started the show in July, and Last Airbender was the first movie we reviewed, which I think might make one of our lists. We'll see for the worst of the year. And are there any movies that came out before the show started that you wanted to mention?
I really don't think so. There were a couple of films I saw. I know that I caught up with after the New Year last year, but you know, why mention things that everyone knew that were horrible? So
that's true. There were a lot of bad romantic comedies in the beginning of the year. I think like Leap Year and Valentine's Day, which
yeah.
I kind of like those. I'm kind of a sucker for these cheesy romantic comedies, but that was B-minus territory.
Yeah.
And there was some Iraq War stuff that didn't work, like Green Zone. But yeah. Anything worth mentioning I have in my list.
Okay. Even things like Green Zone and some of those other films, they're, for want of a better term, to a certain extent, some of those were noble failures. At least they were trying to do something interesting and important and edgy and such. The worst films, as I think we'll see, are just god-awful for
That's many. True. And there is one movie that didn't make my list, but I want to mention it. We all know that MacGruber bombed at the box office, which just shows that MacGyver blasphemy never pays. So I just wanted to say that. And we also love Dead Mouse Dioramas, but otherwise hated Dinner for Schmucks.
That's true.
All right, let's jump right in here to the list. We'll start at number 10, Mr. Film. The 10th worst movie of the year, in my opinion, was Inside Job, which, if you recall, I bullied you into lowering your grade.
Yeah, I know, and I still have the bruises.
And I felt really bad about that, but it was also indicative of the movie itself, which I think tries to bash its point of view over your head without really making sense. You know, it's kind of a Michael Moore smear campaign applied to the financial markets. So I think that's a deserved one of the worst movies of the year.
Yeah, I agree. That didn't quite make my list. At number 10, I had The Expendables. That was the picture with Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I remember we had a big disagreement about this. And I just found it to be a very boring, useless picture. They're trying to recapture those 1980s over-the-top action pictures. And I say, just go back and watch something from the 1980s if you want to see some a 1980s over the top action picture.
Fair enough. Yeah, you gave it a D-. I gave it a B. I enjoyed it. I thought it was just like a clean, fun movie. It actually had kind of a story, and it wasn't particularly original, but I enjoyed it.
I don't know. It just didn't really have. It seemed like it was a typical over the top, big budget, empty Hollywood picture. It had a lot of the elements there, but none of the spirit that it really needed to capture that kind of fun that those 80s action pictures have.
All right. Well, at number nine, I have Eat, Pray, Love, which I thought was overindulgence with no substance, empty carbs, endless spaghetti, and mystic pizza that's fat for the soul. That's what I said in my review, and I stand by that. I hated that movie. Although you mentioned in your review that it was a good setup for a spaghetti dinner afterwards, and I have to admit that after my wife and I watched the movie, we did go to an Italian dinner. So
I think Mrs. Film and I did as well. I didn't really hate that picture as much as you did. I did. I liked the Italian part of it, the first section of the eat part of it quite a bit. The pray part of it in India, I thought was just a bunch of, I don't know, it was just kind of
baloney.
Baloney, empty platitudes. And the love part was when they were in Bali was okay. I liked Javier Bardem.
Yeah, he was the best part of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they had a good chemistry and such. So if you do rent the picture or stream it, cut out the middle parts, just eat and love and forget about the praying.
Okay.
At number nine on my list, I had Monsters, which was a film I actually had quite a bit, and I bullied you into reviewing this.
That's true.
I actually had a big expectations for this picture. It had a really kind of a cool setup. It was a low budget thing, kind of a District 9 sort of feel to it, and it just turned out to be a bunch of nothing. It really was just a kind of remake of it. It Happened One Night with the occasional FX monster in tow, and then it had a weird political thing about illegal aliens and illegal
immigration and whatnot. Yeah,
and it just didn't work. It just didn't work, and it's too bad because I think that the filmmakers leveraged a lot of their lack of resources in some interesting ways, but it just didn't have a story. And I think this is really shows that you need a story, not just clever effects and cool premise in order to have a good picture.
I'm with you on this one. It didn't make my list, but I think it is a good lesson that, you know, you actually have to have story and tell a story. It's amazing what kind of special effects that they had in there with the budget they had. But
yeah.
You know what? You really need story at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Speaking of needing story, I have at number eight, The Last Airbender, which was just laughable. That was the first movie that we reviewed.
But
I have to say, watch it on Riff Tracks. It's pretty funny. That's really the only value the movie has to offer is to laugh
at
it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But they got more money out of you, though. That's the unfortunate thing. So I had Last Airbender. I hated it, I think, a little bit more than you did.
All right, we'll see where that comes up on your list.
All right, so now at number eight, I had – and actually, I had Due Date at number eight, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis. I actually almost had a special category just for Zach Galifianakis because he was in probably three of the films I hated the worst this year, or three of the performances I hated the worst. Due Date, which was just one of the most unpleasant, horrible 2 hours or hour and 45 minutes I had to spend at the pictures this year. He plays a moron, does moronic things, never learns from his mistakes. At one point, he and his dog are doing disgusting things together.
Thanks for reminding me about
that. Yeah, I had to. They actually, and you see this in the trailer, he actually drinks coffee made from the ashes of his dead father. I mean, this is just disgusting all the way across. But he was also in It's Kind of a Funny Story, which was another dog for me. It didn't make my list, but it was a near miss of the worst. So he really was just every picture he was in. He was in Dinner with for Schmucks as well. And every picture or every performance he turned in this year was just miserable. So avoid Due Date at all costs if possible.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think It's Kind of a Funny Story. It worked. But yeah, he is really grating. And there's a Razzie for Worst Actor of the Year. I think I would agree on awarding it to him.
Yeah, actually, for Lifetime Achievement Award, because I think he did it in 1 year. So which is quite an accomplishment.
All right, Mr. Film, at number seven, I have our first double F movie of the show in The Extra Man. If you recall, we both hated that. I don't really have anything more to say about The Extra Man.
Well, the only thing I'll say about The Extra Man, and it's a little bit higher on my list, but that was the picture that we were actually – it was another picture that the trailer – sucked us in, and we spent time with that piece of junk. But that was a real bomb. That was a really bad picture. At number seven, I have Wall Street: Money Never Sleeps, which is a sequel, of course, to Wall Street, the film by Oliver Stone in the late 80s, starring Charlie Sheen and Michael Douglas. Now, in this one, we kind of find out what happened to Gordon Gekko, who thought that greed was good and paid for it by going to prison. But this was just horrible. It's just over-the-top acting, a stupid story, made no sense. It was just in this bizarre premise or plot with Oliver Stone kind of pointing the finger at who caused all the financial problems and all the back dealing in 2008. It was just a miserable, miserable, boring, depressing film.
I'm with you on that completely. I agree about Oliver Stone, and you know, it's just anti-capitalist crap and a real bad move for Carrie Mulligan, unfortunately, who's a really great actress, as we've seen in a couple other movies this year. And I saw her at a screening for another movie. She was being interviewed, and somebody complimented her on her her Wall Street Never Money Never Sleeps performance, and she had this look of horror on her face. So I think maybe she knows that was a doozy. But that's a little bit higher up on my list. So I'll let you know at what number when we get to it. All right, why don't you go ahead with number six, Mr. Film?
Okay, number six, I have The Last Airbender, and you mentioned it briefly. I'll just add a couple of points that this really is just another black mark against M. Night Shyamalan, and it's dead. It's a dead piece of garbage. I mean, it's just plastic. It's just a plastic, empty, horrible waste of time. So again, we talked about the riff tracks. I imagine the riff tracks I haven't heard those, but I imagine it's quite amusing and quite worth your time if you're looking for a good, more modern picture for the riff tracks guys to take on.
Fair enough. All right. At number six, I had Shrek Forever After, which we didn't review on the show, but you know, alternate universe, it worked for Star Trek, I think, in the previous year, but it just doesn't work for Shrek. And that's about all I have to say about that. You know, I hope the whole Shrek franchise is over. I don't like it. I think DreamWorks is making a lot better movies now that aren't sort of poking at Disney. They're actually becoming more innovative and coming up with their own original stories rather than trying to rip off, you know, and make fun of Disney. They're actually coming up with some good content, as we've seen with some other ones in the year, like Megamind and How to Train Your Dragon. So,
absolutely.
You know, I hope that's the end of that series.
I hope so too. I avoided the picture because I didn't like the last couple, and I just didn't want to subject myself to more depression. But I'm with you with that. And I think that even though I didn't love Megamind, I thought that was a lot more innovative than what I've seen of the Shrek pictures in the past couple ones.
What's at number five, Mr. Film?
Number five for me is The Extra Man. We discussed before. This is, again, one of these bizarre, weird indie pictures, which I don't mind. I like entering another world and this kind of almost this backdoor universe possibly to, you know, what most of us live in. But this was just really just depressing on every level. Kevin Kline was just horrible. And the kid, he was awful. And he had this weird kind of fetish thing that just made it just icky. So it was just a kind of an icky, depressing time in the theater for me.
Well, fair enough. I have at number five now, this might be a little controversial, but I put Toy Story 3 as the fifth worst movie of the year. And
right.
Mr. Film, the reason for that is that I thought it was really inappropriate for kids. It was a horror movie in a lot of places. Now, the last scene in the movie is very good, and you see, you know, the toys connecting with the kids, and that's really what Toy Story is all about. But the whole rest of the movie is just this horror thing that's kind of like a Nazi concentration camp metaphor, and it's just really, really not appropriate for kids. Horrifying. And I hate it, and lots of terrible acts of altruism in there, going back and saving the bad guy, just terrible stuff. I think that was a real miss for Pixar, and I'm going a little bit down on Pixar lately with some of their stories, and I think DreamWorks is coming ahead this year, is pulling ahead of Pixar, so that's what I have at number five, Toy Story 3.
All right, all right. Well, at number four, I have I'm Still Here, which, as you remember, I just despise this picture. This is the Joaquin Phoenix pseudo-documentary that has been outed as a pseudo-documentary. I just hated everything about this. I hated the fact that they were trying to pull a fast one on the audience. I think that's really kind of nasty. I thought that was a waste of time. Joaquin Phoenix is a talented guy, and I don't know what he was trying to prove here. Just miserable and horrible. Now, I remember you kind of liked it. You thought it was kind of
hilarious. I gave it a B+.
Yeah,
I was laughing through it. I don't think it matters if it was fake or not. I really enjoyed it. Now, I have to say, though, that was your funniest review of the year, I think. So if anybody's interested, go back and listen to Mr. Film's review, because I think that definitely makes the mark.
Okay, fair enough. Well, at least I spread some enjoyment out of my pain. But this was just a really, really miserable piece of work, and I didn't get it. I realized very quickly that it was a joke, and it kind of... made me kind of mad because I don't mind a send up. I don't mind a joke, but when they're trying to pull a fast one on the audience, I think that's kind of, I wouldn't say inappropriate, but I think it's just kind of nasty.
All right, fair enough. It's kind of like the Phil Hendry for movies, if you know who he is on radio. He does something similar to that. So
yeah,
which I like that too. So
so maybe you just like mean and nasty jokes.
I don't know. All right, I had at number 4, Wall Street Money Never Sleeps, so let's jump ahead to number 3, Mr. Film. At number 3, I have Clint Eastwood's Hereafter, which I thought was a terrible movie. Nothing happened. He's trying to explore mysticism and the afterlife and, you know, doesn't really have any answers and is kind of bashing his point of view over the head like Inside Job kind of did. Just a really bad, bad move and a big miss for Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a huge miss for him. And what could have been kind of an interesting picture, no matter where you come down on the afterlife spiritual side of things, it could have talked about some really interesting spiritual issues and some interesting ways. And he just missed the mark on everything. And it just... that film was just a disaster on all fronts. However, I do have to say that I did like... elements of Matt Damon's performance in that picture, so that made it slightly almost palatable for the 2 hours we had to sit through it. But it ultimately was a huge failure.
But it didn't make your list.
No, just because I have more important fish to fry, such as Life as We Know It. This was my number 3 picture, which it was just stupid and horrible, and is a perfect example of why I am still more or less have a intellectual embargo against Hollywood rom-coms. This picture just doesn't make any sense at any level. It has a big kind of high concept thing where Katherine Heigl and Josh Duhamel play these two warring people, and they have the same best friends, and their best friends die, and they inherit their kid, and they have to make a family, and it's just horrible, horrible, horrible. And if you remember, this is the film that I reimagined as a zombie picture. And I think it would have worked. I think it would have made money. I think it would have been enjoyable, maybe even a little of a tearjerk.
And that was your second funniest review of the show, Mr. Film. You know, it took me, you said the title, it took me until about 15 seconds ago to remember what movie you were talking about. So.
Well, you know, maybe that's good. That's good that you were able to blank that out. And that's the bad thing about worst lists. You're reminded of the things that you've jettisoned from your subconscious.
All right. Well, number 2, Mr. Film, I have a surprise for you. Now, I know I've been saying The American is the worst movie of the year.
I know.
But... after some deliberating, you know what? I'm going to have to put it at number 2.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why after we get to number 1. But, you know, I panned that thing to death. There's really nothing more to be said about it. It just totally a boring movie. Didn't work. Unless you like sitting around watching George Clooney do nothing pretty much the whole time. So.
Well, if you remember, I liked that picture a little bit more. I thought it had some interesting elements. In terms of this hitman character and taking more a cerebral look at what's typically an action, a highly action-oriented, mindless sort of thing. So, but I take your point to a certain extent. I disagree with you, but I respect that where you're coming from there. Now, my number 2 film was I Love You, Philip Morris. Now, up until
no.
up until a couple of weeks ago, I Love You, Philip Morris was my worst picture of the year. This is just an abysmal piece of garbage. As a matter of fact, it was so bad, if I hadn't been reviewing it for our show, I would have walked out after the first 10 minutes. This is about a con man who's just not likable. He's involved with this weird prison romance with this kind of dullard character named Philip Morris. And the only reason that they're con men is because the gay lifestyle apparently is a very expensive lifestyle, and that's the only way they can fund it. So I just thought it was a
come
very
on, that was just a joke. That was just a joke in the movie.
If that was a joke, I don't know. I just think it was a mean-spirited thing. I didn't get who these characters were. I didn't get where they were coming from. I didn't connect with them at any level. I didn't like the story. I didn't like the storytelling. It was all mostly voiceover, which is a really, really problematic way to write a film. And it was just another unfortunate failure in Jim Carrey's recent career. And it's unfortunate because I like Jim Carrey. I wish he would pick better projects. And obviously, this didn't make any money. So thank God we won't see a sequel.
I think audiences agree with you. But I think it worked for me. I thought it was funny. And I actually liked the construction of it. There's a sort of a twist at the end that you kind of wonder what's going on. And I think it's played well. And I enjoyed sort of figuring that out and seeing it unfold. That's a really tough balance to be able to not make it too obvious, yet when you make the reveal, it's like, oh, yeah, I should have saw that. So I enjoyed it for that reason.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mr. Movie, if The American is not your number one picture, what's your number one picture?
Well, I think we agree on this, Mr. Film. Let me play the trailer for our worst movie of the year.
Okay.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Cleo.
That's right. That's the trailer to Somewhere from Sofia Coppola that is about absolutely nothing. And in case you missed it, let's play it one more time.
Okay.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Cleo.
And that's about all that happens in Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I had to jump this up to number one because, you know, it's just getting so much critical acclaim from various sources and whatnot. It's total crap. That really ticks me off that it's getting any kind of attention whatsoever, and that this even got made is offensive, and that there are critics out there that actually like this piece of trash is just unfathomable. So I have to just come out and say, no way, Somewhere, worst movie of the year.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Somewhere is horrible. Nothing happens. If you remember, recall in my review, I was hoping throughout the picture that they would get in a bus accident, the building would get taken over by commandos, aliens would land, something would happen.
Zombies would appear in the movie.
Zombies, something would happen because this was just horrible. The opening sequence with a Ferrari going around in circles and the main character's lament at the end that he's a nothing. And this is Jean-Paul Sartre for the 21st century. This is just garbage. And as a matter of fact, Jean-Paul Sartre was more action oriented than this garbage, because this is just horrible, horrible acting, horrible filmmaking, boring, uninteresting. There's no reason why anyone should waste their time on this picture. And if you do, you've been forewarned. So if there is some semblance of something good in here, let us know. Email us at mail@moviefilmshow.com because I want to know, because maybe I missed something. Now, the one thing we did both agree on with this film, and I do want to say one thing, that the one positive, Elle Fanning, who plays the daughter, she's actually quite good.
That's true. That's a good point. I think she's got a lot of screen presence and charisma. And, there's a sense of innocence to her and lightheartedness that I think would be well applied to another movie. So I say let's give her another go. And, Sofia Coppola, I think we can just, pass on her from now on.
Yeah, please. I think she needs to be stopped. So that's that's for the worst pictures of the year.
All right, I'm glad we could come to agreement on the number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see your point. Even on the ones I disagree with you on, I see some of your points. I think The American is slightly better than what you
Not a chance. F minus deserved.
But I'm glad that you picked Somewhere as the number one worst picture of the year, because it's a well-deserved accolade.
Okay. All right.
So we talked about the worst films of 2010 in this show. Join us for our next show, because you get to hear what the best was. And I think we have some really good films on our list, and I think we're going to have some surprises, and maybe we'll have a couple arguments here and there. So please join us for our next show.
For sure. Yeah, there's some great movies coming up. Looking forward to talking about that. And as always, visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you want to send us a comment or a question or an email, let us know if our lists were right or not. Just send it to mail@moviefilmshow.com. All right, well, that's it for this show, Mr. Film. I'll see you for next show for the best of 2010.
All right, I'll see you, Mr. Movie. Stupid story, but this was just really just depressing on every level.
I hated that movie. I think that's a deserved one of the worst movies of the year.
This is just an abysmal piece of garbage.
Just laughable.
I actually almost had a special category just for Zach Galifianakis.
There's a Razzie for worst actor of the year. I would agree on awarding it to him.
Yeah, it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
It's just anti-capitalist crap.
Just miserable and horrible.
I thought it was really inappropriate for kids.
That film was just a disaster on all fronts.
Alternate universe, it worked for Star Trek, but it just doesn't work for Shrek.
So it was just a kind of an icky, depressing time in the theater for me.
MacGyver blasphemy never pays.